Chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We continue our look this morning at Solomon's pursuits under the sun. Come to in chapter 2, we see his perilous pursuit of pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Solomon says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks, and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. And my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. And then I considered that all my all that my hands had done, and the toil that I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Let's pray. Father, we come to your word this morning, and we pray that your word would have its way in our hearts and in our lives, that it would restore our souls, that it would enlighten us, that it would exhort us, that it would encourage us, that it would make us wiser than our teachers, that it would give us more insight than all those around us. And we see here from Solomon's pursuit of pleasure, it's vanity. And help us, Lord, to see how that same pursuit in our own life, maybe through different means, is also vanity if we pursue pleasure apart from you. Help us now, Lord, to understand Solomon's vain pursuits and all of its unworthiness so that we can avoid following in his footsteps. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. What if you could have it all? Everything. Everything that your heart desired. What if you could have everything that your eyes see, that your heart longs for? You can't tell me you haven't thought about it. You can't tell me that you haven't considered it at times. What would it be like if I had this? What would it be like if things were different for me? A carefree lifestyle, free from the problems of life, the greatest possessions that this world has to offer. What if I had all of those? Money, wealth, endless entertainment, the finer things life presents to you, fame and recognition. What if you could have it all? All the years I spent working in the ornamental iron business, we'd always find ourselves in these multi-million dollar homes filled with all the finest furnishings that you could find in the world and in a home. And I'd always laugh because the guys with me would always say, oh, I wouldn't want any of this. I wouldn't want all of this. It's just too much. I don't want it. Maybe being too brutally honest, I would always say, I'd give it a try. I'm not opposed to it. I'll try some. And the honesty is, we would all say that, right? We'd all give it a shot. We'd all see what it would be like. We always think that maybe the outcome would be different for us. We would use those things for the Lord's glory. That's what we always say. But what if you could have it all? What if you could have even the things that aren't permissible by God? That's what some people long for, the freedom to just do whatever and whenever and however. What if you could have whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted, basically living a life with no consideration for the Lord? Would you be happy? It's a daunting question. Would these things truly bring goodness and satisfaction and enjoyment to your life like you think that they might and like they seem to promise to do? Would these things give you the meaning and purpose and value to your life that you long for? Well, there are definitely a lot of people in this world who definitely think so, who definitely will say, yes, having it all is where it's at. Having it all is what I'm going to pursue. There are many in this world who definitely think so. And there are many others who, at the very least, hope so. They hope that it will provide them with all the satisfaction and enjoyment in life because that's what they put all their hope in. And that's what all their pursuits are after. More, 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 better, 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 newer, newer, newer. All with the intentions of this will really make me happy in life. This will be really what my heart longs for. This is a dilemma that almost seems to be unescapable in life. We are plagued as people in a fallen world, fallen people in a fallen world. We are plagued with this insatiable desire. On one hand, we want the insatiable desire for less. We want less problems and less trials in this world. And on the other hand, we have an insatiable desire for more. More money, more possessions, more wealth, more fame, more freedom to do whatever one likes. It's undeniable that we have an insatiable desire for pleasure. We like a good life. We like good things. And we will often go to great lengths, sometimes leading to heartache and harm of ourselves and others, in an attempt to acquire or create what we believe is necessary for us to have that enjoyable life, or to have the pleasure-filled life that here on earth that we long for, this kind of carefree lifestyle where we where whatever we want, whatever that may be, it's going to vary amongst all of us. We'll all have different varying degrees of what we want and what we like, but we all ultimately long for this lifestyle where it's carefree. We can have what we want, when we want, where we want, how we want, whenever we want it. Now, assuming our efforts were to pay off, maybe it is worth putting all the effort into it and pursuing all of these pleasures. Assuming we were able to gain everything that our eyes desire and everything that our hearts seek to have pleasure in, would the pursuit of such things be worth it? Would our pursuit of pleasure really bring us the satisfaction and meaning in life that we are looking for? If it really paid off, would it be worth the payoff? Would our pursuit of pleasure bring us the happiness in life that pleasure seems to offer us? Is pleasure really worth giving our lives over to the pursuit of it? Well, Solomon tells us here that the answer to such questions is undoubtedly no. It's not worth it. It doesn't pay off. It isn't worth all the effort that you put into trying to acquire such pleasures. Pleasure will never provide for us. Well, we hope that it will. It will never provide for us man's deepest needs and problems. And Solomon says, pursuing it is not worth it. We'll see here later, it's a very destructive pursuit. Solomon, after giving himself to his grand experiment with pleasure, and we'll see that he's like, I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to see what living a good life is, giving everything that I want, doing whatever my eyes see and whatever my heart desires. I'm going to give myself over to these things completely. This is the pursuit that he's on. But after his grand pursuit, he warns us that the pursuit of pleasure is wearisome. So he comes to the conclusion, he realizes this leaves us chasing for more, and it gains us nothing under the sun. In essence, he's saying it's not worth all the effort that we give to it, all the hope that we put into it. He says in verse 11, then I consider that all that my hands had done in regards to his pursuit of pleasure He said, I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. His pursuit of pleasure was futile. My friend, understand, pleasure, no matter how enjoyable it may be, does not meet man's deepest needs. And pursuing it, hoping that it will provide man's the answers and the questions and the satisfaction to man's deepest needs, will leave you weary and very disappointed in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 really is a fascinating and sobering glimpse into one man's quest, one man's attempt to find meaning, satisfaction, and purpose in life by simply pursuing the pleasures of his heart. I'm just going to live it up. I'm going to do everything that my heart desires. I'm going to give myself over to everything that my eyes see. It is Solomon's confession of his pursuit and his indulgence of self-pleasure. Sadly, it is a life enamored with wine and women. It's a life attempting to find solace in gardens and gold. It's a life of ease, served by slaves and singers. It is a life of living for oneself rather than living for God. You understand, Solomon's pursuit is not so uncommon to us. Maybe the extent, that the extremes that he's gone to pursue pleasure may be unknown to us because we don't have those types of opportunities. But his pursuit of pleasure is very common in this world. It would have had him on every episode of the lifestyles of the rich and famous. His homes and lavish gardens would have been featured in every issue of Better Homes and Gardens. It would have been front page every month. His wealth would have earned him the title of the world's richest man in Forbes magazine. And his lifestyle and his accomplishments would have made him Time magazine's Person of the Year many times running. He was it. He was what every person longs for. He's what every person wants to be. And so enamoring was his life, and all the possibilities for pleasure were available to him, that you think if anybody in this world is going to find meaning and satisfaction in pleasure, it would have been Solomon, because it was all available to him. If anybody was going to find meaning in life through the pursuit of pleasure, it would have been Solomon. But yet his pursuit of pleasure and wine and women and great works, possessions and entertainment and wealth and power and fame left him weary and empty. It was futile. It just provides for us a sobering warning to any who would try to follow in his footsteps. And Solomon's account of his pursuit of pleasure apart from God really provides us with a detailed look at the perilous pursuit of pleasure, the vain attempt to try to find meaning and satisfaction in simply living a good life on this earth where we are able to get anything and everything that our hearts desired. And Solomon reminds us here that it's not only wrong, the pursuit of pleasure is not only wrong, but it is absolutely futile and worthless. Now, there are four aspects of pleasure here that we will look at from Solomon's account. Number one, the pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of pleasure. Number two, the pleasures man pursues. Number three, the perils of pleasure. And number four, the problems with pleasure. So let's look at the first one. The pursuit of pleasure. What exactly was Solomon pursuing? What does it mean to pursue pleasure? Well, Solomon recalls for us how this pursuit of pleasure began for him. Look at verse 1. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. And we see this really battle going on in his mind. He's contemplating with himself. He's pondering in his own man, why does man exist? What is man supposed to do with the short time that he has on this earth? What is it that really brings him satisfaction in life and meaning? What can a man do that really makes his activity that he does under the sun meaningful and valuable? We know that this is what Solomon is wrestling with from chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, where Solomon declares that all is vanity. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? This is the dilemma that he finds himself in. He wants satisfaction. He wants to know why man does what he does, why he's here. He's looking for purpose. He's looking for meaning to why he, and really for that matter, any person exists. And what can one do under the sun that, with the few days that he has, that really has any value to it? And so in his attempt to find such purpose and meaningful toil upon the earth, Solomon decides to test his heart with pleasure. He says there in verse 1, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself." He said, you know what, maybe what I should really do is just have a good time. I don't have a lot of time here on the earth. Man doesn't have a lot of days here upon the earth. Maybe those days should just be spent in giving himself completely to everything that his heart desires. And after giving it much thought, after weighing all the options and weighing all the considerations, Solomon has decided that maybe the pursuit of pleasure will provide adequate justification for man's existence upon the earth. Maybe this is why man exists, he decides, to simply find enjoyment in life, doing what his or heart desires, to live it up, as we often refer to it in our day and time. This will bring me happiness, to have a lifestyle of indulgence where I'm able to just do whatever I want, however I want. Mankind doesn't have many days upon the earth, and so maybe it is intended to be spent seeking one's own desires and living for one's self. Maybe that's what man is supposed to do. It is here in Solomon's decision to test his heart that we see what is really at the heart of seeking pleasure. What does it really mean to pursue pleasure? And that is, it's man's enjoyment. He says, enjoy yourself. And Solomon is going to give himself over to whatever makes him feel good. He's going to give himself over to whatever makes his entire being better, of a happier welfare. He's going to give himself over to whatever will supposedly bring him happiness in this life. What we see here is Solomon is just going to give himself completely over to self-indulgence. It's my life. I don't have a lot of time here on the earth. I'm going to do with it what I want. I'm going to live completely for myself. And the only thing, only objective I have is my own enjoyment. Whatever I do, whatever I pursue, that's my goal. To be happy. To be enjoyed in life. We see here from verse 10 that nothing would govern his pursuit of pleasure. He says in verse 10, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil." He's really fallen victim to everything that man today perceives. I've earned the right to enjoy myself, and I'm going to do it. Whatever my eyes see, I'm going to pursue. Whatever my heart longs for, I'm going to give myself over to it. I've earned the right. It's my life. I don't have very long to live. This is what I'm going to do with it. And every activity that he would engage himself had one goal, his own pleasure. And he says there, that's what what he accomplished. Then in verse 10, he says, I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil. Everything that I did brought me pleasure because that was what my goal was. To be satisfied, to be enjoyed, to be happy with what I did here on the earth. Friend, that may sound nice. And that may sound worthwhile. Who doesn't want to just have everything that you ever wanted? Who doesn't want to just live completely for oneself? That may sound nice, that may sound worthwhile, and you may believe you've earned the right to enjoy yourself the few days that you have here upon the earth, but understand there is nothing commendable about Solomon's pursuit of self-indulgence. To completely live for oneself is not only very foolish, but is a dangerous pursuit to engage in. But sadly, it is a pursuit that all too many give themselves over to completely live for oneself. Jesus warned his disciples about giving oneself over to the pursuit of self-indulgence and instructed his disciples that true followers of Christ don't live for themselves, they deny themselves. And rather than living for their own pleasures, they live for Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, there Jesus tells the disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The path to satisfaction and joy in life is not pleasuring oneself, it is denying oneself. Christ would continue, "For whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" And Solomon's pursuit was a foolish and dangerous pursuit. And to be a Christ follower, one must follow Christ. And we know Christ was the ultimate example of one denying himself for the purposes of God. And Paul writes of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Christian friend, the temptation of pleasure is all around us. We all can fall victim to this. "I'm going to enjoy myself while I'm here upon the earth." And the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2 that the world is filled with things that bring pleasure to our eyes, and we have to avoid those things. We must be watchful because, like Solomon, our hearts long for pleasure. Who doesn't like pleasure? Who doesn't like a good time? Our hearts long for self-enjoyment, and our eyes are constantly searching for those things that promise to bring us the pleasure and enjoyment in this life that we think will make us happy. So, friend, we must not fall victim to the pursuit of self-indulgence. We must have the mind of Christ, the mind that does nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. We don't live for oneself. We live for Christ. And we must rely upon the Spirit of Christ to empower us to deny the selfish pleasures of this world and to live for the purposes of God. And so we see the first aspect of Solomon's pursuit of pleasure was it was simply a pleasure to simply enjoy himself. "I'm going to give myself completely over to everything my eyes see and everything my heart desires." What is that? That moves us to point number two, the pleasures man pursues. The pleasures man pursues. And Solomon's account here in verses 1 through 11 takes us from his confession of pursuing pleasure now to the items in which he sought pleasure from. You see that he pursued pleasure in wine, verse 3. He pursued pleasure in great projects, verses 4 through 6. He pursued pleasure in possessions, verse 7. He pursued pleasure in wealth, entertainment, and women, verse 8. And even though he doesn't say specifically, I think it's safe to assume from verse 9 that Solomon also pursued pleasure in fame and recognition, being noticed in the world. But more importantly than the pleasures that he pursued, we'll look at each of those here in just a second. If you understand, more importantly than the pleasures that he pursued was what he hoped to gain from each of those pleasures. And that's really what's at the heart of the issue here. For example, in verse 3, he says that he pursued wine, hoping that it would cheer him. He says, verse 3, "I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom." Basically, he's saying there, listen, this was not just a drunken feast that I was on. My mind was still governed by wisdom. I was still contemplating everything that I was doing. I was giving serious consideration to myself, giving myself over to alcohol. He said, "I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life." There's really two reasons that Solomon experiments with alcohol here. The first one is he does so in an attempt to alleviate or mask the pains and hardships of life. He says, "I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine." How do I just get rid of all the pain? How do I get rid of all the problems in life? Well, maybe I can do that by cheering my body with wine. So he experimented with alcohol to alleviate or mask the pains and hardships of life. But secondly, in a more kind of folly way, as he describes it here, he does so with the hopes that by pursuing pleasure through alcohol, that he will discover some good that man can do in the short days that he lives upon the earth. Maybe if I just cheer myself with wine, then maybe that will open up some doors, maybe that will give me some understanding of life, and maybe that will help me understand what is so good about what man is to do upon his time on the earth. And basically he's saying maybe drinking and drinking parties are the best solution to facing the difficulties and the emptiness of life that man finds upon the earth. Maybe that's how I can really find myself. So he gives himself over to wine. And next we see his pursuit of pleasure in great projects, verses 4 through 6. He says, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. For a more comprehensive look at everything that Solomon built, I encourage you to spend some time looking at 1 Kings 7 and 1 Kings 10. And there you see all the extravagance, all the amazing accomplishments that he gave himself to. And there you'll see that Solomon was an architectural and really an engineering mastermind. Unbelievable things that he created and developed. But here in this text, beyond the homes that he built for himself and for others, were the gardens and the parks that he made for himself. And that's where we see most of the attention here given in the passage. He says, I planted vineyards for myself, I made gardens and parks, and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. This is really a fascinating look into what Solomon sought pleasure in. The word parks here in verse 5, without becoming too technical, was originally borrowed from the Persian word partis. It was then translated from Persian into the Greek and became paradiso. You can hear our English word paradise from that. And Solomon was attempting to find pleasure by creating a place of paradise here on the earth, a place where he could truly be happy, and a place where he could truly find enjoyment in life. If I'm here, this will make me happy. If I'm here, this is where all the problems are escaped. It would be relaxing. It would be appealing to the eyes. It would be a place from danger and the harsh realities of life. It would be a place where he could escape the responsibilities of life. It would be, as we would call to it, paradise. But his intentions go beyond that of simply creating a nice place to dwell. It's really more sobering than that. In this passage, you will find the same Hebrew words found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 regarding the Garden of Eden. You see plant, a garden, trees, fruit trees. You see to water. So you combine the meaning of the word parks as a paradise with the planting of fruit trees and the amount of Hebrew words in this passage that are similar to the words that are found in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And Solomon wasn't just simply trying to create a nice place to dwell on the earth. What Solomon was trying to do was recreate the Garden of Eden. He was trying to recreate the Garden of Eden with the hopes that he could recreate the paradise that God had created for man. And maybe there he could find what the meaning of life is all about. If I could just recreate what was in the garden, then maybe there's where I will truly find what is meaningful in this life. Maybe there I will understand what I'm supposed to do. Maybe there I'll understand what man is supposed to do with the short time that he has upon the earth. But there's something quite different amongst Solomon's garden and the Garden of Eden. Solomon's garden would be a secular garden. There's no forbidden truths here. You can indulge yourself in whatever you want. There's a place also where God is nowhere to be found. In reality, it would be a futile attempt at an ideal world to create an ideal world in the midst of a fallen one. Maybe I'll just create this paradise. This is where it's all going to be. This is where I'm really going to find pleasure and happiness. We move from his great projects to his pursuit of pleasure and possessions, verse 7. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. The slaves would have made life very easy for him. It would have allowed him to do whatever he wanted, the freedom to do whatever he wanted, when he wanted. And there would be those who would take care of the things that he didn't want to do himself, a life of ease. The herds and the flocks would have provided him with plenty of food and clothing, the finest the world could offer. Verse 8, we see his pursuit of pleasure and wealth, entertainment, and women. He said, I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of men. The wealth would have provided him the lifestyle to live at however he pleased. It would have allowed him to purchase everything that his eyes desired. It would have allowed him to purchase everything that his heart longed for. It would have been necessary for him to engage in the pleasures that his heart desired. Entertainment here in the form of music and singers would have provided him with amusement and delight, really in reality, whenever he wanted. And most honestly see his pursuit of singers, where it mentions both men and women, as this wasn't just simply good delight. More than likely, this was some type of exotic amusement that he was after. The women would have allowed him to satisfy the desires of his flesh without any reservations, without anything holding him back. Verse 9, we see his pursuit of pleasure and fame. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Now we can't say for certain that that's what he was ultimately after, was the fame. But he didn't turn it down. And his pursuits of pleasure gained him the recognition of the world. The tendency is to look at this and say a couple things. One, this was just, he lost his mind. He gave himself over to everything, thinking this was just a foolish pursuit. But you see there at the end of verse 9, my wisdom remained with me. This was a careful consideration to what he was giving himself into. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what his efforts were going to cost him. But yet he pursued them anyways. And the other tendency is for us to view these pleasures as something that doesn't really apply to us. I don't try to hide my problems with alcohol. I don't, you know, I'm not in the business of creating multiple houses. I can't even keep fake plants alive, so I'm not in the pursuit of having gardens and all those things. I understand I'm not going to have all the possessions this world has to offer. I'm not going to be very rich. I understand all that. This doesn't really apply to me. You understand, when you combine all of these pleasures together and look at what Solomon was hoping to gain from them, you understand that what he was after was something that we're all after and long for. A carefree paradise, free to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Where one always has a good time. Money is no issue. A place and an environment where we are only responsible for what we want to do, and we've got everybody else to take care of those things. A place where the desires of our flesh can be satisfied with no hindrances whatsoever. That applies to all of us. Yeah, the specifics may not be applicable to us. Yes, we don't have all the gold and the treasures of kings and the provinces. But we sure would like a little more in the bank account. If you go to the office tomorrow and your boss says, I'm going to give you a raise, none of you are going to turn it down. We all want these things. And this is something that is at the heart of every individual. We want what these things seem to promise. Ease, security, enjoyment, the desires of our flesh being satisfied. And while the specifics may vary, the desires are the same. And we have to be careful about the pleasures we pursue, because they may just be taking us from the purposes of God. So we've seen Solomon's pursuit of pleasure, simply to enjoy himself. We've seen the pleasures that man pursues, things that result in a carefree and life of ease. Number three, the perils of pleasure. The peril of pleasure. What makes pleasure so dangerous? You know, in one sense, all pleasures can be dangerous, even these here, right? Having a little wine is going to lead to drunkenness, and drunkenness leads to all kinds of harm and destruction. Pursuing great projects could lead to a lot of wasted time and a lot of wasted resources. Wanting everybody to wait on you hand and foot could lead to laziness and irresponsibility. Wealth could lead to the root of the love of money, which is the root of all evil. All of these things, in a sense, pleasure can have its own danger built in within them. But Solomon describes for us a very real and serious danger. He says at the end of verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Pleasure is rewardable. It will give us what we want it to for a time. You approach someone who appears to have it all, and you tell them that their lifestyle is futile and vanity, and their pursuit of all the things under the sun is worthless, and odds are you're going to be laughed to scorn. Why? Because it has rewarded them. Pleasure has rewarded them. Pleasure has given them the satisfaction, the enjoyment in life that they're looking for. But the problem is that reward, that satisfaction, does not last. And they don't realize that it doesn't last. And rather than realizing and recognizing pleasure's futility, they do as Solomon says. They just keep chasing for more. And they will satisfy them for a time. It will reward them with pleasure for a time, and only to disappoint them again. And rather than considering maybe all of these things are futile, maybe there has to be something more to life than simply enjoying yourself, maybe I should be giving myself serious consideration to why I'm here, they simply just look for pleasure somewhere else. And that's the danger of pleasure, because it does reward us. The person who engages in sexual immorality will be rewarded with pleasure. It's the wrong pleasure, but they will be rewarded with pleasure for a time, and it won't last. It won't bring true joy and satisfaction, a danger we must watch out for. Number four, the problem of pleasure. Solomon's pursuit, I'm going to enjoy myself. He wanted a carefree lifestyle, free from responsibility, rewarded at times by his pleasure. Number four, the problems of pleasure. You have to ask yourself, why is pleasure so bad? What makes it wrong? I mean, aren't we supposed to enjoy life? Doesn't even Solomon say later that life is a gift from God and we are to enjoy it and all the toil that we do under the sun? Why is pleasure so bad? Maybe this is what we should do, is just enjoy life. Solomon tells us here in verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? It hasn't gained me anything. Pursuing these things has left me mad and futile. Verse 11, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had and expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So why is pleasure so bad? Aren't we supposed to enjoy what this world has to offer? Aren't we supposed to enjoy the good gifts God has given us? Or maybe are we just supposed to be solemn, never happy, never having a good time? Solomon gives us really three reasons why the pleasure is wrong. Number one, some pleasures are just wrong. Right? Giving himself over to the concubines for his sexual pleasure was wrong. There's nothing about it. It was wrong. He shouldn't give himself over to those pleasures. Sometimes pleasures in this life are simply wrong. They violate God's holiness. They violate God's righteousness. And we are not to give ourselves over to them. Some pleasures are just wrong. Number two, some pleasures only seek to satisfy ourselves. You see that really in verses 4 through 6. Listen to what Solomon says here. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for who? For everyone else? No, for myself. I made myself gardens and parks. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest and the growing trees. And on through the passage you'll see I and mine, for me and myself. Some pleasures are only intended to gratify and satisfy our own desires. We live for ourselves. We want our own self-pleasure. Number two, and the final reason, is ultimately seeking pleasure is a worship of self. It's not just seeking self, it is a worship of self. And that's what Solomon alludes to in verse 1. Enjoy yourself. You're the only person that matters, Solomon. You do what you want. You give yourself to what your eyes see. You give your heart to what your heart desires. You enjoy yourself. Solomon, I'm going to worship myself. Pleasure is wrong because sometimes it is wrong, and often it is self-seeking, and oftentimes it is a worship of ourself. You understand, seeking pleasure apart from God, Solomon says, will always be futile and will gain you nothing under the sun. And that's the problem with it. Sometimes it's wrong, it is self-seeking, and ultimately it leads to the worship of self. So what are we to do? So are we to just go around and be solemn and never have a good time, never enjoy family, never enjoy the good things that God has given us? Is that really what it's supposed to be? Am I never supposed to like my home? Am I never supposed to enjoy my flowers? Am I never supposed to enjoy having a little more money in the bank account? Maybe I'm just supposed to ignore all of those things. Is that what Solomon is after here? No. As a reminder, he wants us to enjoy life. Life is a gift to us from the Lord. Enjoy your home. Enjoy your flowers, even if they're fake ones. Enjoy the good times with your family. Enjoy the financial blessings the Lord has given you. Enjoy the luxuries and the freedoms this world has to offer. But do them living for Christ. That was Solomon's problem. I'm going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for Christ. I'm not going to live for God. This is all about me. Pleasures are to be enjoyed. As Tim read this morning, where are true pleasures? At the right hand of the Lord. There are our pleasures forevermore. We shouldn't seek pleasure apart from Him. We are to enjoy life and the good things that God has given us. We enjoy them as we live for His purposes and as we live with, as Solomon will later tell us, an understanding and consideration of who God is. We live in fear of Him, and we live walking and keeping His commandments. That's the end of the matter, he says. That's what we should be doing. Yes, you can enjoy life, but it is done fearing Him, and it is done keeping His commandments. Enjoy pleasure. When it's done that way, it is truly pleasure, and it is truly satisfying. And that's why the person who is dirt poor in the parts of the world that are, they face persecution and even death because of their faith in Christ, they can be truly joyful and happy. Whereas the person in this world who has everything is miserable and not satisfied. The difference is not the possessions. The difference is Christ. Relish in Christ. Live for Christ. Please yourself in Christ. Let's pray.